booking this very important meeting. As you all know, we will be looking at the strategic plans and annual performance plans of the department today, and there's also one entity that we'll look at because of the time that we have available to us. Colleagues will know that we intended using the whole of today, but because of the new items that have now come into the program of Parliament, we are unable to do so. So we can only do our work until 1 o'clock. Therefore, we can have all the entities or deal with all of them as we have planned. But Friday, it will continue until we are able to finish our business. But for this, we also know that we meet today, all of us, very saddened indeed, by the passing away of one of our very hardworking and reliable ministers, Honorable MP Colt Shabane. Maybe then just spend another moment of silence in his honor. May their souls rest in peace, thank you very much. Again, let's welcome the department. I know that the department also has engagements with the select committee of the MCOP. Maybe something that we might have to look at in terms of our programming and talent, so that we don't divide the capacity that we have in the department to be in different places at the same time. It's something that we would look at, and I found that our personal race with the program committee. But for today, yes, we know that there are some places, the DG and other colleagues that leave us to interact with the select committee in the NCOP. Colleagues, this is a very important exercise because though we have not passed our revenue allocation, and we know that we pass it to areas as well, in this allocation that we passed today, as of course informed by what has been brought before Parliament by the Minister of Finance, we will be looking what allocation is going to this department and what are they going to do in this financial year. But of course, also take a broader view that in the MTF period, what are we likely to see happening in the mandate that this department gets. Therefore, people of this country expect us as members of this portfolio, or members of the Portfolio Committee on Environment, to hold our government accountable on the finances that they will get and appropriate to them, but secondly, on their performance as informed by the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa and various statutes. It is in this spirit that we then welcome you, the colleagues from the department led by the Director General. We had planned that perhaps we have yourselves and two other entities today, but as I've already announced, because of the time difficulties we have today, we will only have the South African Weather Service making a presentation, and we interact with them apart from yourselves as department. Those are my welcoming remarks. Without any further ado, I will now take my seat and be a very attentive listener to the presentation so that I can raise pertinent matter that arise for the presentation. DG, the platform is yours. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. I'm start with a presentation, and Ms. Dipo Godogo will continue, and the CEO, Ms. Liz McCourt, and then when we finish the strategy or the annual plans of operation, will then present the financials, and the CFO, Ms. Esamaka, will lead us in that presentation. Thereafter, the DDGs will then expand on the basis of the questions that will be raised by the honourable members. We have tabled our strategy plan to Parliament on the 11th of March, 2015. In terms of the rules, therefore we are then presenting the content of the strategy plan in the context of the medium-term strategic framework, as well as the government program of action. Next slide. Okay. No, first slide. Can you do first slide? Yeah. And honourable members, our strategic plan responds to the National Development Plan, and particularly in respect of the Vision 2030, focusing on the transition to a society and economy that is characterized by qualitative growth and being an international community.
Just hold it there so that we are assured that everyone has the presentation in their hands, because you might go and steam ahead only to find that members still don't have the presentation. I see. There is a green thing, mine is black. I think it's because I'm black. Yours is white. Good, yours is white. Okay. Are we all happy in the document?
No.
You don't have... Okay. Make sure that everyone has at least the document that is being spoken to. Because we wouldn't like to proceed without, because some of us would like to scribble as you guys speak. So you do have another couple?
And in that respect, it it aspires that we transition to a society and a and an economy that has qualitative growth with international competitive sectors and also in that context creating jobs and ensuring that there is equity in terms of the prosperity of the enjoying the prosperity of the country. You may recall that there have been comparisons in terms of Gini coefficient that South Africa has got quite a big gap between those that are enjoying the benefits of the economy versus those that are on the lower end in respect of sharing in those benefits. Thirdly, the other key pillar of the transitioning is related to the work of our sector on ensuring sustainability and the step of making sure that the growth has got is transitioning towards local growth, bearing in mind that our economy is fundamentally based on fossil fuels, particularly coal in respect of energy, and it is anticipated that by 2050 we would have at least reduced our reliance on a high carbon emitting industries, but more on clean investment in respect of growing the economy. The priorities then of the department have been structured in a manner that takes into account both external factors and also then within that outlined certain assumptions in the context of low growth and threats to environmental sustainability. We therefore say that we have anchored the strategic plan in a context of a priority on ecosystems that are sustained and natural resources that are used efficiently. We want to have an effective climate change mitigation and adaptation response, and also we hope that we will be able to meet a priority in respect of environmental sustainable growth, in respect of low carbon growth and transition into making sure that the growth of the country is not detrimental to the environment and also to the health of the citizens of the country. Hence, we then talk about a just transition. We have prioritized we have prioritized also that to up our governance system and capacity of the department, and that is from an aspect of an internal focus, and we would contribute to sustainable human communities. So that is a frame, that paragraph on the slide then reflects then what we have prioritized and what the strategic plan and our targets talks to. For us to then achieve that, we require a coherent and a conducive policy, both in terms of the fiscal environment and regulatory system that will facilitate innovation and incentives. As we know, honourable members, the fiscal environment is not at the best of times. We have currently been experiencing low growth in the economy, and therefore Treasury has already outlined that we should not exceed a certain expenditure envelope, and basically we have been receiving budget cuts to make sure that we fit ourselves into the science of that envelope. And therefore, both from a human resources and an operational budget point of view, has been decreased for this MTF period for the Department of Environmental Affairs. And when the CFO presents the figures, you'll be able to see those changes. With the budget that we will then we have, we also hope that we'll be able to invest in the development of the new green sectors and industries, using the Green Fund as a catalyst, but also our other bilateral and multilateral a funding arrangement. We have the Global Environmental Facility, as well as there is an opportunity for us to access the Green Climate Fund from later this year. And we focus investment in green transition of the existing sectors and industries, as I already alluded to last week when we presented on the climate change the DG and Ms. Judith Robert already outlined what we are doing in respect of implementing the climate change policy towards setting carbon budgets for key sectors in order for us over a period of time to help those sectors transition and invest in cleaner growth. We are also focusing on a consumer and societal behavior change. The minister has been asking the department to up its endeavors towards taking on board the broader public and making sure that both in terms of how you handle your waste as public as citizens of the country, and also how the industries themselves, for instance, deal responsibly with whatever their industry produces as waste, towards recycling and minimizing the waste that goes to landfill sites, just as an example of a possible behavioral change. So in various aspects of the program on climate, we are also talking about solutions that relate to mitigation and greenhouse gases from energy efficiency and also demand management, both in terms of public buildings but also at a joint settlement level. So those are the kinds of initiatives that are entered in the plan of the development. And we also require an economy-wide implementation of both public and private sector investment that will then facilitate transition. So it's not government alone that will be able to make a difference in terms of transition to a low-carbon economy. We definitely rely on the private sector to take the right actions at an appropriate point. The next slide then reflects the standard captures the key aspects of what we have in our strategic plan. We have the vision, the mission, and based on the department's mandate, which is to ensure the protection of the environment and the conservation of natural resources within the context of sustainable development in order not to disadvantage future generations. That is the mandate of the department. And our vision, therefore, is a prosperous and equitable society living in harmony with our natural resources. Again, we do make the point here that the growth of the economy is very much fundamentally dependent on the natural resource base. And we need to make sure that we do not then undermine that base for which our economy is supposed to thrive. The mission of the department is then that we will provide leadership in environmental management, conservation and protection towards sustainability for the benefit of South Africans and the global economy, the global community. We are a country that belongs to the world, and in most instances, environment is on boundaries, and there is then an expectation that South Africa contributes to meeting goals and targets of global or of international at an international level, and that's what then informs our mission. On the strategy map, this honourable members is a short summary, I would say, at a glance, what is entailed in our strategy and how the linkages are fostered, both in terms of how we are structured as an institution and also how we perform our functions. We start with the vision, which I've already outlined, that seeks to make sure that we transition to a society and an economy that is internationally competitive and sustainable, with equity being the core pillar. We have three key high-level strategic objectives. One is to an environmental economic contribution that should be optimized. Here again, we are saying that we need to be able to facilitate sustainable socio-economic growth and development through scaling up the contribution of the environmental sector to economic prosperity of the country. Hence, in the context of the green economy strategy, we have the key pillars that outline how that can be achieved, and this is in summary what that strategy seeks to achieve. On ecological integrity and safeguarding enhance our interventions in that regard, we hope that we'll be able to provide leadership and promote environmental sustainability through management and utilization of conservation, protection, and also valuing the natural resource base. We are also having an objective of achieving a socially transformed and society and communities that we would undertake through driving socio-economic transformation and transition through a fair and equitable sharing of benefits and enabling social development. We do have instruments in our sector like the bio-prospecting and regulations which allow for indigenous and indigenous communities to benefit from the exploitation of natural resources, whether it's for pharmaceutical and activities or even other activities. Then in respect of the global obligations, that's the last box, we are focusing there on enhanced international cooperation in terms of multilateral environmental agreements that are linked to the sustainable development priorities. So these are then the strategies outlined what the key outcomes are, what are the objectives, and how we then get to achieve our vision over the MTF period, or contribute to the achievement of the vision over the MTF period. The next slide reiterates fairer in detail how the outcomes are framed in respect of the strategy of the department, and I would want to then go to the lower part of the box on the picture that you have there, honourable members, where we have a greater focus on the internal strategic objectives. As an institution, then, how will we facilitate the achievement of the outcomes, as I already alluded to? We will achieve key results through strengthening our workforce, both in terms of the people that we recruit into the department, and also investing in development of, in terms of the staff that's already within the organization, and also an improvement of internal processes and systems. So we have there a pillar that talks to people and infrastructure capability. It's both the human resources, our IT infrastructure, in respect of what we refer to as the MSP, which is our strategic plan for investment in technology that would aid the business of the organization. So that, in a nutshell, is what is in the strategy of the strategic plan of the department. And I will get to the program structure and say that we still have 7 programs, honorable members. Program 1 being then an administrative program that also facilitates effective cooperative governance and environmental education and awareness. Program 2 is then a program that deals with legal authorizations and compliance, including then a authorization system in terms of the EIAs in our department as one of the competent authorities out of 11 competent authorities in terms of the National Environmental Management legislation. The program Tree in Oceans and Coasts, focusing attention to the oceans and coastal areas of our country, and then climate change and equality management activities, program activities covered under Program 4, including the one of the public entities that is going to join the meeting today and present its strategy plan, being the South African Weather Services. That is a delivery arm of the program of Program 4. Program 5, Biodiversity and Conservation, again, this is a program that has a responsibility for the management of the biodiversity for the country and heritage and nature as it relates to the World Heritage Act. And the South African National Park, South African National Biodiversity Institute, and Isimangaliso, that will be appearing before the committee on Wednesday, on Friday, my apologies, is then under Program 5. And then Program 6 is the Environmental Program, which is a program focusing on the implementation of the expanded public works program and the green economy sector. So there are two DDGs that contribute to that program, Dr. Preston and Alf Wills. And then the Chemicals and Waste Management program, which seeks to focus on ensuring that chemicals and waste management policies and legislation are implemented and enforced in compliance with the waste management authorizations and directives and agreements from chemicals and multilateral agreements. And that is then the program that Mr. Gordon and Mark is responsible for. Coming to the actual strategy, then we'll then take you through program by program.
Well, why don't we stop there, JG, so that we speak to the strategy of the department before we go to program by program. You are bringing a new, let's say, aligned strategy before this committee. The last time we engaged with you in this process, after your mission and vision, we will dive straight into the individual programs. Now, probably members might want to just get clarity on where we are now. We have got three broad areas that one could call a dashboard, for lack of a better word. Perhaps colleagues might want to ask issues around that. How will you ensure that indeed these three, in fact there's four areas, but if you include the international one, it's four areas, that it is our strategy will in fact not be as it was before, from where I'm seated. Before you had segments that were not in a organic way interlinked. You had programs that were not in an organic way. Maybe they were interlinked by the mission and vision, but not in a strategic framework. That indeed we might understand. But how do you, as a transit to a low carbon economy, because you are not the only players there, and your emphasis is there. You are not the only players, politically speaking, and strategically speaking. How do you translate living out in your dashboard strategy important players in government, other government departments? Indeed, there might be a way you can explain it on a dashboard. But that would be what I will ask from my side. Members,
just on the socially transformed and transitioned communities, I just want to clarify on two issues. The first relates to improved access the sharing of benefits. I think it's broader. The secretaries, it's pointed, which is the third one there, it says the improved socio-economic benefit. What are the issues of competition?
Members, while Lala was saying that they are no longer coming back on this, was now then deal with programmatic issues. Okay, we are in your capabilities.
Thank you, Chair, and I would also allow my colleagues to also make an addition. I think that the key is that we are an enabler to growth. We stating here that a growth that is not sustainable or that is not based on sustainable principles or sustainability principles is definitely not desirable for the country. And therefore we are outlining in the strategy here and the strategic plan of the department very much what is within our control, but we also outline how we are going to facilitate with those that are supposed to take the action. So in a sense, I think that we would feel, if we were to go back to enabling conditions, what is our contribution towards at least transitioning the economy? The whole implementation of the climate change policy that is in our responsibility, but others that must take action to make sure that it is achieved. And secondly, we also have the opportunity to pilot and demonstrate some of the other initiatives that will facilitate and catalyze changes and behavioral changes, both by industry and even by sector. And if I then use the example of the Green Fund, we are not responsible for the Department, for the work of the Department of Energy, but energy is critical in terms of us transitioning to a low carbon future, because it is one major contributor to our greenhouse gas emissions. And through the Green Fund and other initiatives, we are then demonstrating technologies that can be tested and have an ability for scaling up in respect of improving both the emissions profile of the country. The area of renewable energy is one big area, and we have a plan as a sector. And again, the minister, working with the ministers, critically being the Minister of Energy, Minister of Transport, because the transport emissions are also quite significant. There are already programs, both in non-motorized transport, but also even public transport, that is now even fitted with gas and engines, or a propane system for that, for the transport, public transport system, also is now being changed to gas in Gauteng, where it's happening in Ekurhuleni and even here in the city of Cape Town. So there is an opportunity for us to lead in those areas and therefore create the ability for scaling up through demonstration. And then the other comment from the Honourable Member that relates to the whether there's any difference between improved socio-economic benefits, and I don't know which one is the first one. Fair and access to equitable sharing of benefits. We talk about the instruments that are within our control, like I indicated in terms of bioprospecting. We talk about bioresources or natural resources that ordinarily are exploitable, industry and made the example of the pharmaceutical industry. Somebody would come, an international organization, a pharmaceutical organization, come to South Africa and exploit an army. And in that process of the research, the interactions that happen with the community members, with their indigenous knowledge, they say that aloe, you can use it for treatments of, say, I can't remember now, various other diseases. Is it ulcers? Not cough, I was thinking about coughing, but it's not cough. Various other medical applications. And basically, that company could have done the research and left the country and make a big investment and benefit out of exploiting that knowledge. Even if you go and have a scientific research in a laboratory, but through the Biodiversity Act and the regulations, we have regulations that are referred to as benefit and access sharing regulations, wherein the beneficiaries and the knowledge owners also are then, they have to be an agreement on how they benefit in respect of the process of using that biological resource. And in improving socio-economic benefits, we are then referring to programs that necessarily we do to improve the environmental services, like in the natural resource management program. If we talk about controlling any invasive species, we could have opted to use biological control, which is insects that naturally exist from where this plant comes from, and not use labor-intensive methodologies. We use labor-intensive methodologies in order to then provide some social economic benefits to the unemployed and to communities where this work is undertaken. So that is the nuanced difference in that formulation of how we then contribute to social transformation and social improvement. Honourable members, thank you.
Thank you. So that's one issue of clarity. You see, sitting where some of us are sitting and having interacted with you, one will understand the coordination responsibility we have as a department in transitioning to a low-carbon economy. We really understand that. But the only issue one was raising, it is not clear how we interact and influence others in this regard, in the government. Maybe some of us are not that well read. It is not well articulated. That's the first issue. The second issue, of course, is having raised the economic outlook in the document that obviously might affect our broad plans. Politically speaking, at the outset, are there any particular areas of work that might necessarily be scaled down as a result of the economic outlook? Because when you touch on it, but as you touch on it, so that indeed as we get to the actual programs, we have in a way a glimpse of, without even touching on the finance, what are these programmatic areas that we might have to perhaps plan over a long period, plan over a short period of time, as a result. This is happening in every country, by the way, where a project that you needed to have in a year, because of the economic outlook or financial outlook, so to speak, you then have to rearrange and plan over a longer period. So, if you can speak to that as well, and when you speak of consumer and societal behavior change, does that also include government? say, well, how to say consumer and societal? And you don't interest government, because government is the driver for, and I'm deliberately using transition as an economic term. If you aren't going to have government being an active participant now, that means government as a whole, which might be coming in your next leverage, both public and private sector, investment in the transition. You might be sticking to that. But indeed, are we also having well-articulated coordination plans with our colleagues in government? Well, if we don't, yeah, I know we do, but I'm not sure whether it is coming out clearly on our. We are more, you know, we are coming from a situation where you said we were having these operations from the various programs that were not linked at the center. Now they are. But are we also having work that we have got to influence government on being linked in this operation? But like, as we speak about NDP, you need to reduce our dependency on coal as a source of energy by from 81% to around 43% by 2030. And you need to ensure uptake of renewable energies from the present 1% to over 21%. I'm raising those issues. Sitting where you are sitting, how at a practical level do we influence government work in this front?
You Chair, we'll just go back to the slide before this slide. Honourable members, that middle, the bottom and then the boxes, that is the second from the bottom. We in the strategy map, again, we outline our role in coordination and monitoring. On the far right, also is our on our third plan on page 20, on this document, page 20, you will see it much better. We've outlined that we will coordinate through effective partnerships, cooperative governance, and local government support. So that is the mechanism, and we are also saying that we would then again use effective knowledge and information management for the sector as another key contributor to coordination. We say that we are in a better position to actually package knowledge and make sure that other sectors that are supposed to mainstream sustainability have knowledge and information that is provided and also driven from our sector perspective. And in the department, we even have under Mr. Al Queen, a chief director that is focusing on what we call agility, where the attacks that are being monitored in respect of what you want to achieve as sustainability objectives, and how then proactively can contribute the information and knowledge. If we do not, then how do we make sure that we, for instance, have a process where we then generate that information and knowledge in order to package it and make it available to our counterparts in government in other sectors. And we are also saying that we'll have an enhanced sector monitoring and evaluation capability going forward. And in the middle, we talk about building a culture of sustainability, the way we refer to improving the profile and support in respect of the capacity for the environmental sector. The minister had MINMEC, convened a MINMEC the last Friday, in which meeting of MECs, she outlined the importance of us as a sector, with provinces, being able to make our case to treasury around the importance of financing these functions of the sector. So there are processes like 10x10, 4x4, which involves provincial treasurers and national treasurers, which she has committed to the NEC that she's going to facilitate a process wherein we then engage so that there is also a proper reflective financing of the function across the spheres of government, being local government, provincial government, and even national. On improving compliance with environmental legislation, again, here there are pieces of legislation that are also outdated, which need to be repealed in provinces. And that, even in respect of us, we are then helping the provinces, assisting in facilitating the process of them being able to repeal old legislation. Of course, we cannot do it ourselves. It has to be done through the provincial legislatures, but we then help in leading and contributing to that process. And then the left pillar is focusing on developing and set the environmental agenda. Again, this is more about influencing both from a regulatory process, a regulatory system point of view. We have spoken about the implementation of the One Environment System with the Department of Mineral Resources in terms of environmental authorizations, as well as the Department of Water Affairs in terms of aligning the issuing of water use licenses. So there are examples where we are contributing to changes in behavior, and we hope we can do more of that. And from a mitigation and transitioning point of view that the chair made reference to, the low-hanging fruits that have been identified to transition in terms of mitigation, technical mitigation potential. In the area of buildings, we are already working with the Department of Public Works to look at the whole portfolio of public buildings and how those can be retrofitted to make sure that we at least reduce wastage in terms of energy. And working with municipalities, again, we hope that we'll be able to have a program with COPTA wherein municipalities would roll out energy efficiency programs, even including certain street lighting, which is solar, they cannot use a fossil fuel energy for street lighting, and even robot systems and so on. There is a technology that is already available for us to influence such programmatic changes. So I'm giving these examples, honorable members, to say that we have already thought to, in each program area, how we would then facilitate our influence and to make sure that they contribute to transitioning of the economy and also the changes in behavior, both definitely in the public sector, but also hoping that in Parliament, the whole Parliament will be at some point energy efficient and the minister and he's been asking how we're going to do it, and I think we need to have an engagement basically because you do have money that you already pay in respect of what you waste in terms of electricity use in the Parliament building. If we were then to convert that and save and make an investment into saving energy, you're also going to save on the bill of Parliament in the long run. Thank you very much.
By the way, that's something I forgot to say. Acting President, you're most welcome.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, answer that. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. When I was taken through, or together with other people, through protocol letters at some stage, we were asked to answer a question that says, when you arrive in Botswana, you are MEC so-and-so, and you are visiting family at a funeral. Do you carry along your being MEC in your family, or do you leave it at home? It's a difficult question. We all answered the same, man was on my home in my funeral. We were taught under difficult circumstances, also on our necklace, you never relinquish even when you're sleeping. That position. Well, I almost wanted to say that because this one is not mine. I left it when I entered the store. This one. Thank you very much. It was quite reallocated. So one day this thing was just crossing in. Let me just try and in a very illustrative manner talk to an issue that you raised, honorable members are raising. Did he allude to the four pillars at the lower end of that diagram that's on the board? What I think he further tried to do, because you look at the influential part of our work, that also would travel alongside of not just the influential but also carrying the heat at times. In other words, working together in partnership but also being a regulator at the same time. So you will notice those issues underneath here, but also an implementer in our own capacity. Where, for instance, you would see that in the middle column, just at the bottom of the same set of diagrams, improved compliance with environment legislation. It would be what we do with other partners as a regulator. And on top, improved proper support and capacity building for environmental sector. That is what we do in support, in partnership, in action with other departments. So these overarching strategic objectives and strategic approaches will then be pulled, as you would see in the program, that they permeate the whole area of our work in program. Let me just pull one that you mentioned as an example. How do we ensure that other departments, for instance, implement environmental related and climate change related programs? That is an example. If you look at the, just before we get there, pardon me, on your slide number 16 under your program, I'm just putting way MAs into the bigger program. Under slide number 16, I think it will have the same kind of slide, where you have the national, the last column there, on the left, National Climate Change Response Monitoring and Evaluation Systems developed and implemented. The starting point here was that we do have a National Climate Change Response Policy. What does it say? It looks at the issues that DG was talking to, that transport department has to do certain things in order for us to comply with implementation. LA department has got to do certain things. So what we then do then is to further continue to monitor what is said in the strategy together. Because remember, the strategy was not formulated by us sitting here. We worked with those departments to say, this is a bigger picture of how South Africa must look like in terms of climate change response. And then come up together with you, let's sit down as Department of Transport. What are the kinds of things that we are going to do to ensure that we respond to the climate change, but also transition into a green development in South Africa that grows our economy inclusively? So these are things that Ria Vaya, Siahamba, Arien, and all of these things on Kandar and so on, they are not happening by accident. They are part of the plans that we have coined together today for us to be able to move transition in the transport sector without the institute. And also calculating at the same time what are the impacts on an ongoing basis. So these monitoring tools would then show us what are the tools, what are the impacts. For instance, if I drill deeper a bit, there is an example of just one monitoring tool that we have used to calculate how does a movement from Swanee to via O.R. Tambo or via Santen to O.R. Tambo calculated in a reduction of metric tons carrying so many people in Gautrain at this lower reduced time period of traveling there compared to a car that would-be territory, same country, here is maybe certain number of people, about let's say 50 for assumption. If it's cars that were traveling between the stages, we found in fact very scientifically that it takes a lot of time for many people to travel in different cars to the same direction. So from a cost point of view, from a mission point, reduction point of view, from a productivity point of view, there's a real improvement. So that kind of accommodations that we do. Just second thing, the response to the question, I'm just adjusting one thing. So you'll find all of them permeating through the, that comes from the fourth block, the blocks that are on the block. Then coming to the question you raised, again let me use an illustration. Did you say earlier on that there has been some cuts by Treasury? I want to clarify that a bit. The cuts that have been instituted by Treasury come as a result of, again, another dialogue. Because in the same manner that we're doing this climate change response policy, Treasury's role is to show that we live within the budgets and really work towards responding to these economic situations that are difficult for all of us. So we've been sitting down together to look at what can be, what areas can be reduced in this space. Of course, there are others that are a little bit difficult to swallow and to accept. But that's also using another slide, sorry again, to take you to a budget. The major cut that has happened after very thorough exercise with all departments, we agreed in one spirit that it's going to be a way that we look at maybe sustaining a little some of the employment compensation of employees program. There are departments that probably have some posts that they not necessarily ask, but some departments that do not would have over what calculations of their structures, or they would have funds funded allocated to their structures which they have not been filled. So in unanimously there's been an implementation suspend implementing those for a while until the economic situations get better. Because there are instances where some of those goals are really not so critical for now. So because we need that money that's attached to those funds, let's take that money and use it where it's necessary. For instance, you see the new allocation on slide number 2, revised allocation, which is on your, is it on this one? Yeah. CFO will speak to it later on, but I just want to indicate that it's on compensation of employees, it's on goods and services, and it's on some programs of the Green Fund, but it was subtracted but taken in the next outer year, meaning that that would be all things being equal, etc., etc. Once the economy would be improving, that money would then be reinstated. So there are departments, unfortunately, that are going to find that the money is not being returned because there have been some analysis shows that they don't quite critically need this particular post. That's then where they are going to be reduced and they then have to put elsewhere. So it's a whole exercise. For us, it's actually only three measures that you see. Of course, we are going to suffer a little on the structure part of it because we are in the department fairly, relatively speaking, to all others. We do need to feel, especially the high capacity levels that we need in managing the environmental aspects. We are going to try a little bit, but it's a temporary setback. We're going to continue to push really with Treasury, looking at where the other parts, where people may not need that money to bring it to our area of work. Thank you.
But that's all that we bear with unit, and also you can't say we are living in difficult financial times, and you don't say how does that impact broadly. Before we even go to the programs, to the work that we're going to undertake, Member Sonnet.
Yeah, well, let's share. Jefferson, you raise a very important thing as how the department is managing to influence other departments that are going to be responsible for implementing projects and transition approaches to help us achieve our mandate. Now, if we look at the energy and the climate change, we cross over energy, transport, and human settlements, for example. If we're going to look at land degradation and spatial planning as the mineral resources, if it's enforcement compliance, if the police, justice, etc. I just want to know from you, looking at the example example of China, where they invested in the government, invested heavily in solar panels. It brought down the general cost of solar panels so that the public could then afford it. Which department, I think that we need a breakdown, because for example, human settlement hasn't been touched on, but the kinds of IDP houses we are building for people and where we are building them is going to impact on those things. So I think if the DG can, I specifically just want to know on human settlement, but it would be interesting to know with the committee, which departments are you not influencing, because that's not perhaps not appropriate, but which departments are you engaging with to achieve what outcome? And how are they responding to you? So if you've engaged with the Department of Transport, and the Minister has highlighted a number of successful public transport initiatives, that has already been successful, but have you engaged with human settlements, and how are they agreeing to change the technology of brick and mortar to use, you know, more energy-saving, polystyrene and all these other things that are technologies that are available now. So, whatever you can give me now, I think perhaps at a later stage we would need to look at something like that share.
I think largely the DG and the minister need to clear on each area and that also they can easily elaborate on any of them to borrow your terminology, your concept of that dashboard, it does seem like it's broad enough to cover almost everything. But there's just one element that from the look of things, you don't necessarily tell that it exists even as you go to the program. And that will relate DG to the risk and mitigation sector. It's there in the program, I know. I've seen that as to this is what you are going to. But my point is, it may not be inherent in each and every program that you will simply say, if we develop this system or if we do this kind of thing, that will necessarily deliver it. On some of them, you need a totally new kind of an intervention strategy to deal with that. And because this talks to what you are going to measure and deal. So I'm saying the risk strategy to some degree needs to be budgeted for. So perhaps it needed something like you did with all the in a particular indication that we say we're going to be covering the risk of mitigation factors as well. Because they will be elaborate on the dashboard. And when you go to the program, it's clear that it's actually factored in. But now, because it's not there, so it doesn't exist. You just find it inside, and to some degree, it needs to be budgeted for. It may not be everything. The others may be inherent in the program that has. If you are efficient, if you have this, you have that, some what you do with the mitigation factor automatically. But there will be other things that will answer and will actually happen. If you get a sense of what I'm saying, right from the capability there, you need that to factor in to indicate that we have this kind of what can I call it? But a cushion of some kind of thing, if you do not go as planned, this is what we'll be able to do your intervention September.
But is, can we on the basis of what I think the you can respond, decide what I'm going to say, can we respond? As Minister, yes, you are right in that the legislation that we have crafted is legislation. Environmental legislation touches on each and every department without exception. It might therefore be very prudent just to get a broad overview of what are we getting in even every sector, for instance, in relation to the transition. Now, where we are, it might not be, because today is not that exercise. Today, the ECO has to say, what are you going to do for the year? But because this is such an important matter that speaks to your strategic outlook, it might be important again you will be speaking to your travel sector, you will be speaking to your energy sector, to your construction sector, if indeed there are some influencing and legislative framework that needs to be adhered to. So therefore your Department of Human Services might fall within this proposal that we are making. But at some stage, if you can just say, are we making it or breaking it, even with these departments? Because you remember that we also said ourselves, we might need, informed by the work that we do, to link up with the other portfolio committees, for very good reasons. Now, it will be very good for us to link up with all these other portfolio committees when we have sense of where we are and what is the legislative framework that they are supposed to adhere to themselves, and indeed are they adhering to those legislative frameworks. But indeed we do agree with the sentiments that you have raised, Minister, that yes, this matter cut through the entire broad scope of work that we have got to do. But nonetheless, you can still respond to the issues, the risk issues, and also what has been raised.
To prepare to speak to the issue about the risk management, I think we may be able to pull that much stronger and use as advice. But just on this issue of the interaction with other departments and coordination, first of all, for purposes of brevity, indicates that even as we are a coordinating department, a regulatory department, like Australia would be an oversight cross, what do they call it, transnational department and so on, all those that are overarching and not at the same time being at the same level with all other departments, because remember in South African constitution, there isn't a big system there. So we need to keep that in mind, that there is that issue. But also, within cooperative governance itself, the constitutional clause does say that if there is also an area where certain scale of government or a government department be at loggerhead with each other in terms of either delivery or any other thing that is not quite in essence to the definite standard that you need, those departments should continue to engage. We're not even allowed to, as a first instance, to get into court, to get into pulling, into litigation and so forth. We have to engage. Yeah. The arms of the state as well as the spheres of government, that's what our constitution is saying, in terms of corporate governance and intergovernmental relations. Now, having said that, for purpose of privacy, I thought we should say it, that the corporate governance issue does allow certain departments like ours actually put together, and as a indicator that we don't sit in one room on our own and then say, let's formulate a policy for people. We work with them. So this response policy that we're talking about does speak to issues of human settlement, it does speak to issues of transport, and there are certain priorities, let me put it that way, because it's not always possible to take everything under the sun. You realize that in our climate change response policy, we can refer to that there are issues of water, there are issues of land, there are issues of biodiversity, there are issues of energy, and so forth. In both categories, because we're looking there at mitigation and adaptation. So they are there. There are policy issues like that which you find under the Department of Environment coordinated by us working with other partners. Citing that, for instance, we need to all of us move towards installing buildings that are energy efficient. We just walk back to another tool that we have, policy instrument that we have, and that is a strategy on green economy. Now, the Green Economy Strategy has got 8 pillars. One of the 8 pillars talks to issues of buildings that are to be energy efficient, that are not only energy efficient, sustainable structures, buildings that are actually there. It's not talking only to government buildings, it's also about houses, human settlements where they are. And that pillar on its own to implement it. We then work with departments like all of them, in fact, public works, human settlements, even private sector, by the way. That's why private sector is already moving in greening their buildings. What are the sorts of things that are then come as implementing instruments going ahead, moving ahead? You would find that there is a program already, like a, where a decision has been made by other governments to install 1 million, is it 1 million, solar heater, water heater in over, I think by 20 something, with a pool right here. But it's one of the instruments. In other words, recognition that we, all the human existing houses, the new houses, the sort of re-installation of solar water heater. Instead of us now connecting people to the grid to further consume the fossil fuel generated energy, let's do already with the fact moving forward. Now, 1 million solar water heaters is not a drop in the ocean. It does have a very high level impact. As part of further implementation of this work, the instrument has been used. Another instrument that's in 100 to the solar water heaters of it. Part of the instruments that have been used is that continuously our institutions like CSIR and all our research institutions, working with the, our academic institutions, are researching on the technologies for the new buildings. Remember that when we talk about China, China manufactures technology and has inexpensive technology there already. We've got to rely on our own self-made generation of technology. Ours is not to always import technology from China, but continue to manufacture. So this one is our order in terms of ours. Technology is made in China. We've got that decision to power solar heater, 1 million over that period. However, the technology that's been used is from elsewhere. So ours is then to continue through the various mechanisms to find new technologies. And not only in the solar water heater, there are several examples in the country where implementation is already happening of the green houses. Some are actually show houses, some are being developed already. Houses that are, we are doing that ourselves. We'll be taking, and we are working with municipalities. Here in the West, we'll be probably at some stage when we have time, where we are constructing houses that we call, the penthouses. They look like a cuckoo, lighthouses. As a lead department that's demonstrating that with it's a house that's energy efficient, that's of good structure, that absorbs during heat, it will be colder, cooler, and so forth. There are houses that in this country are built in the area closer to Rustenburg, and all of them, funded by the Netherlands, but by the way, some of these are funded by our partners, where there's a mixture of brick, cement and sawdust, what we call this, chopped wood, where we make a brick of that nature and they become cooler and manufacturing happens. So they are moving forward now. There's another additional policy instrument is the what you contain in the integrated habitat, the policy that's under consultation. I think look at it in the, it comes from the Department of HOPTA. Where is the strategy for urban, it's called urban-rural development. Where there's a connect between the urban and the rural divide. The policy you call it, that talks to what kind of infrastructure we need to use to develop the urban areas as well as the rural development. It's a very nicely interwoven kind of policy. So we're looking at different spectacles and different lenses of these developments. A little early to tell where there are success stories. Much timely now to say there isn't any resistance from any of the departments. We can say that with confidence. people are moving, and it's a really a place of joint planning and joint execution where we are right now. Some of the shortfalls that we have beginning to experience, where even this 1 million soil in town, which water industry said, would do. Technology comes from somewhere. By the way, it's manufactured their technology from silicon that tends coming from the country as a raw material. We need to manufacture it here. Turned out that the challenge now we're beginning to face is the maintenance of those solar water meters. And as we move on and experience some challenges, we'll obviously go ahead backwards to improve. And right now, Department of Economic Development that's leading this program together with the Netherlands are saying, we now putting together the maintenance programs behind this, but also ensuring that where we have installed, there's no comeback, so that we can move forward together with the Energy Department, of course. In energy efficiency, there's great movements going on. There's already there are light bulbs that are LED that are being installed in houses that are RGB houses right now, as we speak, throughout the country. So, yes, these things are beginning, is the beginning of these programs, but what is good about it is the policies are in place, there are tools in place, we just need to execute, and we are continuing to execute. We would like to believe that we are on the right path and moving towards the right strategy as well. Thank you.
Not long, did you?
Short sentence, Chair. The honourable members, the first line on the strategy map, the lower bottom, which has got people and infrastructure capability, you have equitable and sound corporate governance, and that includes risk. And yes, that's yes, I don't have it. Yeah, I'm talking about technology, but I'm not quite technology. Yeah, I don't have a pointer, unfortunately. Next time we'll bring it out. Well, sorry. Then all of the members, if I were to then refer you to where we then further out, a further iteration of risk is on page 29 on the strategy plan, where we then outline that the objective statement for that equitable and sound corporate governance to ensure effective and efficient performance, risk and financial management practices within the department by ensuring compliance with governance
procedures. Yes, we agree with you. Umaluleka has not disagreed.
Yes.
In that he referred out to those persons.
Yes.
But he says, can we, looking at the dashboard arrangement, come to some conclusion that indeed we need to mitigate whatever risk we have? And anyway, all the things we are talking about, they are also embedded in your dashboard. Everything that we are going to talk about now, all that you are saying is the risk element so important that we find a way of...
So we can then have their own achieved synergies, effectiveness, and efficiency, or effectiveness and risk management.
We leave it in your capable hands. Not yet. We need just raise. Here we raise issues, and again, we raise these issues because we are part of you. We raise them because, when you plan and you plan, and again, we appreciate what you have done, but as life is life, there is always room for improvement. Life is just like that. But I think we have talked a lot broadly on the politics of what we have to do. Now we go to the nitty-gritty, how. How we are going to do all that. We have the same understanding now. But I think means that we agree with that it might be early days now to say where are we in these endeavors. But I think it will not be bad for us just to get in your area of influence and in your area of coordination, in your area of legislative framework, how far are we and how far are we still to go in the various sectors. Because if you do that, that will then also make us to assist you. with the various departments and also sectors. And private sector as well, because we can use information that we can also use in engagement with the public. Can we now go to your various programs, starting with program one? We know that it took quite a long time, but it's good, you see, the resistance where there was taught theory and practice. Now you start with the theory of your programs, which we have dealt with. Now we will just run with the actual areas that informs your programs for the year that we're looking to. Thanks.
Chair, I would ask Dimpo to quickly run through the programs and ask that I'll be excused when I run to the comments.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members and Minister, teachers and colleagues. I will quickly run through, Chair, as you pointed out, administration. So I'm going to go through each and every single indicator or target on the program in the interest of time. But I will speak on how we then have created from that overall method we need to talk to the different programs. In administration, we in the main respond to the very bottom part of that strategy map, which looks at how we are in Canada. So we're looking at issues around equitable and sound corporate governance. And in that area, in the main, we're looking at compliance issues and governance issues. In terms of governance issues, we focus on risk management, IT governance, strategic management, and financial management. Those aspects are covered in what is referred to in government as MPET. So you would see just that MPET is management performance assessment tool that's used by CP and you've access those areas. And they have a rating of between 1, which is non-compliance, and 4, you practically have best practices. Generally now at the department, we are at an average of 3.5, and we would like to continue to maintain that. I think the challenges would be with 4 or best practices. There were also challenges internally in terms of how we can then demonstrate some of these best practices on that. I think the other areas there, Chair, are a continuation of what we've been doing around governance issues, still maintaining our expenditure levels and contributing to transformation, ensuring that 55% of our expenditure goes to BBBEE organizations. And the next area, which is around now mitigating the risks associated with declining allocations, or as we had referred to it as the cuts that we have. We have looked at an objective around a very focused funding of resources, which also talked to us trying to leverage between public and private sector investments. And this talked to our partnerships that we will have to raise funds in an international arena. We're looking at an amount of $40 million that we would love, US dollars that we would love to mobilize from our multilateral and bilateral engagements. We also would want to ensure that the projects that we then implement, the environmental projects that we implement, we try and ensure that we source investors, external investors for those, so that it eases the pressure on us and manages the risk of financial cut for that. And also try and facilitate or build a business case for expanding our allocation for EPWB projects, which is that expansion plan that we have at the bottom there. If we move to the next slide, please. In terms of the next slide, Chair, I think we looked at an area of educating and appropriating skills in transformed and diverse workforce, which is around our vacancy rate and our performance management systems in the department. Last time we talked in detail around our human resource development intervention that we have, which we continue on in terms of skilling, when we look at the work skills plan, and also to continue to recruit interns in the department and issue gatherings. In terms of a transformation, it's around our compliance and employment equity targets. We have added there a focus on women in SMS level. I think in the last meeting when we were giving a briefing on our performance for quarter three, we had indicated that while we are meeting our target on women, we seem to be struggling in terms of women in SMS, so we have highlighted that and put that in our strategic focus on it and have mechanisms to improve that. Okay. And the next, a certain the matter of senior management level and SPT in terms of women target. We still have 50%. Go back. The challenge is recent vacancies, the number of vacancies that we have at senior management level. It's unlikely, unless I ask all the men to vest in rise, for us to meet the 50% target. It's a precise target in terms of DPSA. However, I think I just wanted to alert the committee that we struggle because of the number of posts that we have at senior management level to now reach our 50% target. In light of the fact that we are even reducing on the structure per se, it is an area that I just want to raise a challenge. I would have liked to keep it as 40% target, 45%, but we are not taking shortcuts. We are still putting it as 50% because that is the standard. Thank you.
Maybe so that we try to edge your excuses. This 50%, when did it kick in? When is it kicking in, and what has been? Because if when you say so, you are dealing with people here who understand that we are from a patriarchal society. The same would apply to even the rules that we had for the public, and even worse in the private sector. Worse in the private sector. So, what has been the history of this equity?
Environmental affairs course, starting with the video, being a woman, we come from a history of, I would say, if I were to refer back to previous annual reports, we were sitting below 30% women in senior management level. And now we are sitting at 43%. So we're supposed to be at 50 in terms of the public service. And it's difficult.
I'm asking a direct question. In terms of the public service, from when?
Since the EE. Since
when?
19? No. We've been established in the public service.
It was 30%. That's why I'm asking deliberately that question.
Yeah.
50% from which year? Yeah, but I'm trying to assist you, DC, so that you don't guillotine yourself. Because I know, that's why I was trying to give you a hit, a cue, to say that we are predominantly, we come from a patriarchal society. No wonder you women were expected to be 30%. Now it has moved with time. Thank God we have a wonderful organization that pushed for that to 50%. 50%. So, but of course, whatever explanation, because again, if already we have filled positions, and people, what do? You did agree to the dictate as they existed at the time, so all those positions, 70% are filled by men. Or you even tried and even made it more than 30%, you made it 43 or so. Of course, it will take many organizations in this country a lot to get 50%. But we will still hold you accountable when you come here, unfortunately. Despite understanding.
No, thanks. Just quickly a follow-up on the vacancy rate. It's still at the double digit, 9.5. What are the conceptual factors for it to remain so high, with the high unemployment rate in the country, and also the concern from the national government that departments are too slow to fill vacancies? Why don't you get? Maybe I must one share around the number of investor projects funded. If you can just illustrate to us one or two examples so that we must have a clear indication, and also the question of the value that they add in the overall objectives of the department. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Chair. The matter on the vacancy rate has got two challenges. There is the challenge of funding. Ideally, the minister had already indicated with the budget cuts, in fact, treasurer's posture is that we should now ask ourselves 100% the question, why must you fill a vacant post instead of cabinet because of the issue of funding? We have a problem, we had a delay in terms of funding, but the government target is 10%, and we definitely then, currently in fact at the end of the financial year will be at 9%, I think. So in essence, we will still be within the prescripts in terms of government. And if we get further cuts on human resources again on top of what we have, it will then be a matter of either the minister abolishing those posts or we keep them vacant until we are able to again find other sources. We now have had to reprioritize from operations. But now you end up with an undesirable situation of having people that cannot do the work. Remember the stories about a vehicle that is there but we can't go and do either enforcement or compliance action because we don't have a budget for operation. And the ideal percentage should be 1:2. In terms of your budget, 2% should be for operations to 1 in terms of personnel. So right now we are almost 1:0.8, which is inadequate in respect of resources in the department, unfortunately.
Yes. Can I just make a humble request? Can we finish with program 1? Let's finish. Then that would also include response to your question, Mabiza, on the $40 million. What programs are we? Can we deal with it at the end? Because otherwise we'll finish next week. Thank you. Baba, can we deal with questions after the other? Yes, the same person you repeated. I know that it's a follow-up. All that I was then begging the committee and the meeting to allow me to do, all questions can be coming to the end, including us. There is a question that they have not answered yet as well on funding. All of us, so that we come at the end, or else for each and every segment in the program will be asking questions and end up not doing justice. Please, Bob.
I don't want to disrespect you, Chair, but you said the best thing. You give a lot of people to speak. Now I'm going to do my follow-up question. Now I'm making a link that we must answer questions. And the question must be answered at the end of each session. Which should mean this is unfair. Because you...
I have a question, ma'am.
Thanks very much, Chair. I would like the department to give us the list of the vacancy. Let's want it in, because there is no one in the neighborhood of Xavier. So I would like to know where it has been going to affect the vacancy. At least you get my question.
Thank you, department. You'll ask us to answer at the end of your presentation. Thank you. Can you continue?
Thank you, Chair. We'll respond to the questions after that, as you said. In terms of the next area, which is around efficient and effective information technology systems, this area focuses in the main around our master systems plan, which we referred to in the last meeting. And when I'm done with the administration part, the CEO will come and give further details on the master system plan.
In terms of now improving the profile and support, which you were talking about in terms of what are the activities that we'll do to enhance or to enhance capacity for the sector, in this area, when we look at profiling, this will focus in the main in our media presence, which talks to the statements that we'll have opinion pieces, just to ensure that we improve information about the sector activities in the public. And also look at the public participation program that we'll have, including ministers' sessions that we'll have with the public. And we will also then move on to look at awareness issues, which looks at awareness campaigns that we will implement for each of the years. By 2019, we want to be able to do 8. And in terms of facilitating environmental education, I think we already started the process of trying to ensure that the feature that we integrate environmental focus in school curriculum. And in this period, in this mid-term, we'll focus on training of teachers to be able to then, the educators themselves, to be able to pass on the knowledge on environmental management. And we'll also look at how we then look at the sector skills plan and ensuring that they also include environmental focus in them. Our other area of work here will look at now our own environmental inspectors and training for those, and also the municipal managers or officials and counselors that we need to train. Our focus in this medium term will be on waste management issues, because that's where we realize that there are challenges. So mainly our training will focus on waste management issues in that regard. We will continue with implementation of our local government support strategy, which talks to issues around capacity building, and we have developed a plan. On top of that strategy, each year we develop an annual plan that outlines the activities that we will have to support the local scale government on that. In terms of enhancing our sector monitoring and evaluation, there is a challenge that we have currently as the environment sector, and this is around development of impact indicators for the sector. So we will focus our effort in developing real impact indicators for the sector and ensure that we can then distribute the knowledge in terms of this. This also includes a partnership that we have with SESA in terms of the quality assurance framework and ensuring that the data that we provide on environmental indicators is reliable and has integrity in it. The other very important area when we look at sector monitoring and evaluation is around how we then, as a department, improve our own agility and responding to emerging environmental challenges. So we have a quarterly environmental threat, weakness, and opportunity scan that we would do. To identify, and this is aimed at identifying emerging issues so that we can then respond and have response options before they become a real crisis for the country. Moving on to the next slide. We will look at an area around knowledge and information management for the sector. Here we are actually talking to the details of the systems that will then develop for each of the subsectors. So in ocean and coastal environment, we will have an information management system for that. We will have a monitoring and evaluation system for our climate for climate change issues, and we're also looking at our own GIS system, geographic information systems, and spatial tools that we will develop to ensure that we then are managing knowledge and information effectively for the sector. The last area which is also important in administration is around now our international cooperation, which we say must be supportive of our South African environmental or sustainable development priorities. And in this area, we're looking in main at the negotiations that we will have, the positions that we will have in different areas, in climate change, in chemicals and waste management, and biodiversity positions that we will then negotiate and look at, and any other engagements that will help to then still promote sustainable development or at least an environmental focus thereof. The other important factor that we have is around hosting of SACCI COP17 for 2015-16. So that's another major event that we'll be looking at in our country. Then, outside these engagements, we must also ensure that we then report. There are mandatory reporting requirements for each of the conventions and things and agreements that we have, so we need to ensure that, including our own NEMA 26 report that we need to table to Parliament. Chair, that is the end of Program 1. Can I continue with other programs?
Then we respond first to the matters that have been raised by members. One is on the funding, 40 USD from external sources. Other one is which actual positions by member Brahan will be vacant as a result of this difficulty in funding.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond to the vacancy matter. I think we need to first understand that the vacancy, while we talk about a rate and not individuals, is because we have a continuous, also natural attrition of people resigning, etc. In terms of coming up with that list, in terms of currently where we are now, all of our posts are funded, some non-priority posts are filled with people. So we can only delete that post from our structure or freeze it if it is not occupied. So we would need to, on continuously as new vacancies arrive, need to do this test in terms of where in our natural vacancy rate going forward in this year will we be cutting down posts, because posts that become vacant is not considered to be priority posts. So we're currently in the position of having all of the vacancies that have been identified as priority posts. In terms of we continuously, we have a quarterly vacancy management committee chaired by DG, we will do this exact exercise when we evaluate the posts and look at the affordability in terms of funding the new vacancies and the urgent and emerging projects that need to be funded in terms of the priority. Chair, I do not know if there wasn't a question around the master systems plan, but based on the questions asked last week, I do not know if you want me to expand on that more or if we are happy with the master systems plan.
Well, you will still have to bring the master systems plan, so why don't we leave it at that for now? Members, but there was another question that has not been answered. What projects are we earmarking with this external funding, Mr.?
Okay, I think the GDN team will probably deal with it, but I just wanted to embellish one point that we need to just keep at the back of our mind, that I did indicate earlier on that our structure is about how many years? About three or so years old. Very new, fairly new. And we've been feeling our structure incremental. And that was always been the agreement with Treasury. And as and when we feel our structure incremental, we continue to monitor both natural attrition as well as the critical posts that are needed, without which we can't do at the moment. So that's a holistic kind of picture to be kept at the proper mind, so that we don't say at a straight line, these are the posts that are not fit and therefore this is. We do need the critical infrastructure, critical posts that need to be filled. We can't do it them earlier on than that. So that we can compromise. So that's why we even said that earlier on, that as and when we negotiate, and probably with other committees as well, which is that we need to highlight also that there could be other departments that we know that probably are not quite having some set elsewhere, that it has to build this critical infrastructure if we actually do get a, you know, push something like that. But I just thought that we should not say at a straight line that maybe make five statements that says depending on what is the critical infrastructure or not. Whatever. It's a fairly new thing, but we're monitoring it in that way. Thank you.
Thank you, DG, and honourable members, honourable chairperson, honourable minister. Just in terms of the two sources of international funding, one is bilateral funding, and the other one is what we call multilateral funding through multilateral environmental funds. On the bilateral side, with Germany, this 3-year period, we have a commitment to a program of $55 million, that is spread over 3 years. With the US, we have a implementation program on climate change for $10 million. And with Norway, we've got a program with $3 million. So that's bilateral funding over a 3-year period. In terms of the multinational funding, the major source of funding is the Global Environment Facility, GEF. And GEF has
you have said all these monies are in the main for climate change. Is that what you have said?
No,
I don't know. That's what the GEF has said.
Okay. With GEF, we've got an allocation of $22 million for biodiversity.
Okay.
We've got an allocation of $17 million for climate change, and an allocation of $8 million for land degradation. And then there's a remainder in GEF covering international waters, chemicals, the POS programs, which are not individually allocated. In terms of potential sources of funding, we have engagements with Sweden, Finland and the EU, which have yet to commit any concrete funding to programs with us. And we've obviously got the Green Climate Fund, which has just been replenished to $10.2 billion, but at this point in time is not yet operational to allocate funds.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask two quick questions. In light of the targets under the League Authorization Compliance and Enforcement Program, it's absolutely brilliant that your baseline is...
We are not there.
I know, sir.
Yes.
You'll see where I'm getting to.
But we are not in the program as yet.
I'm aware of that, sort of my question relating to vacancies. The strategic target of that program aims to increase the number of compliance visits, oversight, and people trained. So that is going to have an effect on the number of people you need within that program to conduct those oversight and train. The positions that you foresee that are going to be cut, are do any of those come from the Legal and Compliance Enforcement Program, so that we can ensure that you in fact meet your targets there? Because they're great, we can hold you to them. And then I just wanted to find out the online platform where you're going to manage the licensing, environmental impact assessment and permitting system. What is the name of that? So I'm not sure which one of the programs highlighted on page 32 it is, and when do you foresee that program being up and running, or that information system? So just the name and the date that it's going to be live. And then I just found within the spatial planning report, there's a number of spelling errors, number one. And number two, some of your baseline figures are lower than the strategic plan that you submitted last year. So, for example, on page 29, you've indicated your baseline for the first strategic objective, equitable and sound corporate governance, a baseline for the percentage of expenditure to be 96, when last year the baseline was 98. So I just don't know why you dropped your baseline. So if you can just answer the issue on baseline, and then I'll leave this there for now, sir. Thank you.
And just quickly, related then to the one on the external funding, the 20 million US dollars. And I'm not getting into the bilateral or multilateral. I'm saying the baseline was 25 and now I'm at 20. And I understand that there's commitment from those countries. But I also understand whether they actually reduced the funding. But apart from that, sir, in terms of what is going to happen in order, the government is making it like 5 million per quarter. Is it how the cash is funded? Because we will now come back to get it to be accountable. Quarter, we will expect you to come and see in terms of the annual performance. This is how we expect. And if they don't give you money in those changes, then it will be like you have not given us the honest plan yet. Because we are seeing in terms of the evidence that will be needed, it will be proof of that government. Now, if we go to page 27 of the annual performance of the plan, page 27, up there, quarterly target is 5 million per quarter. So I just want us to be realistic so that we don't come back and cost you account per quarter 5 million US dollars when you can't do that, because the funding is not dependent on you. It's dependent on other countries funding you, and it depends on how they give you that money, or at what stage and so on. Thank you.
Yeah, on the member, another day.
Thank you, Chair. Just want to check on this page 5, like number 10, that the plan for women and people with disabilities, it's only focused to the exact 50% and 2% for now until 2020. So I just want to check the department that they don't have a dream just to go up 2% and maybe 3% sometimes. So I'm not focusing on the exact 2% of people with disability and issue of women. And also on 50% women, only they wrote F on SMS. Do you also imagine having some people of in SMS in people with disabilities? Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I will start with the one on baselines that we've used. In line with the BPME, framework on planning, they then said for baseline information we should use our status as at the end of the third quarter. So this is not the progress for last financial year. This is the progress, why it's lower. So in the third quarter, we're at 93% as opposed to our financial year, which was at 98%. So that's basically the approach on the base number. And then CEO or us that you...
Okay, in terms of the employment equity targets, and I will then get to the legal authorizations vacancy matter as well. In terms of the employment equity targets, we have the target set in the strategic plan is the set targets in the public service system. So these are the targets that are prescribed by us, and we are reporting on these targets. As Didi said, we are exceeding most of those targets in our actual. So we indeed have bigger dreams than what is here, but these targets for equity is prescribed. And therefore, we're reporting against the prescribed equity targets. With the exception of women in senior management, we have actually exceeded all of these targets already. In terms of senior management women with disabilities, we actually include in our disability target and our strategy in this regard, we do not exclude any levels in our targeting process. So in all of our targeting process, we've also reported last week that we do have at senior management at all levels, we do have people with disabilities present. So in terms of the impact on the physical skills around life, you would find, honourable member, that there are increased targets and increased ambition in many areas, not only in life, where there is, even if you look at the EIA processing as well, where we put increased efficiency which are human-intensive manner. In terms of life and in environmental programs, you would recall that the DG earlier said that we've moved money from operational to fund our the staff that we critically need. And we therefore try to not cut posts in those areas, but rather move to administrative support functions, etc., where we're looking at cutting posts to the bone. So in some of the funding that has been moved from operational to compensation of employees was exactly to fund those areas where we need human hands, but we've also improved our efficiency of our processes in order to leave less human hours in order to fulfill the same work, and the compliance and enforcement strategy is helping a whole lot in that regard as well. Sure.
Can I just quickly touch on a few others? Chair, I want to request that we use the following words where we talk about these positions. We are not able to fill, not to cut, because posts are there, the structure is there. What is not happening is that an incremental structure is not, certain posts are not being filled. You see, there's a big difference between that and a cut. So that's the, I think, the language that we, I'm really the question is, what to use. There's a question that, and I think the post like compliance and so on, I have a report here in front of myself, if we can go to this and extent of reading into detail, you'd realize that there are programs like, for instance, enforcement, compliance, monitoring, environmental impact management authorizations are critical. For us, that's under program 2. Number under program 6 is biosecurity, quality assurance of alien endangered species. So that's very critical for us as well. And other programs we also have where vacancies are being monitored so that we prioritize filling these posts that are critical and perhaps continue to hold those that are most critical. So it's really monitoring for purpose of getting us to be more efficient and more effective. The issue about online, I don't know if somebody responded to that question.
Thank you, Chair. The system is called the KIPS system, Coordinated and Integrated Permitting System. There's three areas of work that are going to be prioritizing, and my understanding is that on the 25th of March, we'd actually do an initial testing of the systems. There's three areas that we're going to be looking at specifically, EIAs, waste and air quality permits. In terms of going live, I'm not too sure, but my understanding was that there'd probably be about a 5-week delay from the initial testing to the actual going live. But I don't want to confirm that as yet, but our demonstration date for the 24th of March. So after the initial testing period, if it works as we think it's going to be working, then we should be up and running in a couple of months.
I think, colleagues, can I just request that we do things different now? We ask SOS to come here. We don't want them to come here on Friday. We will be with you as a department. We need to start earlier. We can start around about 8 or so. so that we are not seen as a people who don't care about plans of our entity. Can we then say that for now we are done with administration? When we come back to the department, then we'll agree at what time do we start on Friday, we start with you. We can start as early as possible, but now we allow source to present and we interact with source and they go home so that they go to work tomorrow and Friday. Are we agreed? Thank you very much. Source, you can come and take your wonderful seat. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Can we reserve it 2.5 minutes? Thank you very much. Take your 2.5 minutes break.
Vision and vision kind of stuff. Yeah.
College, you know that we have an hour, or an hour and 10 minutes. So we are in your capable hands now, Dr. Makuleni, and with your team. And let's welcome you here. And you know what this exercise is about. You have some allocation that we will approve this afternoon. And of course, together with the approval of the appropriations for the department. All that we want to know is what are your plans, what are you going to do, what do you intend doing this year, and perhaps if you have time to take us through to the MTA period, if indeed you are able to. But we are here dealing with your annual performance plans for this year in the name. You are therefore most welcome, Dr. Tara Elitin. The platform is yours.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Member, Honorable Minister, the DG, my colleagues, good day. Indeed, Chairperson will try and usually Nigel and others, when they present the weather, they say, don't do kaba-kaba. So we'll move as fast as lightning to present the activities of the organization. With the presentation, members, we'll look at the organizational overview, maybe touch a little bit on some of the successes, but every time when we do an APT, we review what we have done in terms of the performance of the previous years. And then from there we'll talk about the key activities and some of the critical success factors that we need to be looking at.
Well, what Dr. Magren is there, members, we all have this presentation in our portfolio committee documents. There is a source presentation there. Because I see that some of you might be lost, so I'm trying to assist you. So that's the good part of having a friendly chair. But you continue to look at our wives, they're looking for their packages.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think it's always for us important when we look at our APT and the strategy to actually look at our mandate. And as well, we're members that with our mandate, we also have an excellent mandate of looking at ambient quality services as well, which is an area that we are also proud to say that we've been working very closely with the department and now working very closely with municipalities as well in that area. And the other area is the aeronautical aviation area where we provide the service, but we are also the authority to ensure that all the aeronautical, meteorological activities, the infrastructure that is there, meets the required standards and quality. The next slide. The board is actually, together with management, look at our vision, and we felt that looking at the emerging needs that are coming, it's very important for us to have to provide innovative solutions when it comes to the climate, to ensure a weather ready nation at a regional level, focus on the subject region and also within the continent, because weather knows no boundaries. And in the other areas to look at how we can assist industries in terms of the economic growth, because with the weather information and climate information and the issues around climate change, One of the risks that has been identified by businesses is around climate change. And I think the Weather Service is playing a very critical role in that area. With our mission members, there are key activities that are very important for us in terms of we need to, in this area, to have have the leadership role and be able to be in a position to build the necessary body of knowledge that is required in the area and using cutting-edge technology. One of the areas that when we looked at the strategy was to say we cannot do that alone, because now the needs are starting to differ from us only providing the raw data of information. Now end users are requiring that when you provide them with weather information, you also need to talk about the impact of that weather. So you need to be talking to agriculture, you need to be talking to water, you need to be talking to health. So collaboration has become key in terms of our vision, how we work together. With the strategy, one of the key areas, looking at the national level, our contribution to climate change and damage variability, adaptation, with focus on safety of life and property. The other area that is key for the country and also for the other countries surrounding South Africa is to ensure sustainability of meteorological competences. But if you look at the Weather Service is the only institution that is working with other institutions that also provides practical training and experience in the area. So it's one of the key areas that we are focusing on as part of the ATTN, also in the next 5 years, aligning it to the national development plans of the country. At the regional level, members, South Africa is playing a very important role. And I think I also need to thank our minister that in some of the meetings where we were, the Meteorological Association of Southern Africa was also the minister part of that, where minister, we had a challenge with total quality management. And only 5 countries that have were able to have the ISO certification. Now we've got close to 25 countries. So minister, they really listen to your guidance in that area in PM. So thank you very much for that. It's assisting aviation. So we also really involved in the regional with the regional activities. And at an international level, South Africa is playing a very critical role as a regional telecommunication hub. So in our ATP, on a yearly basis, we need to be collecting information from all the English-speaking countries in the continent and making sure that it meets the standards that are required by the WMO. And that information is the information that is used when you come to some of the studies that are being done, looking at issues of climate change and others, and also monitoring patterns of weather around the world. Weather Service is playing a very important role there. The other area that has been awarded is our responsibility. We are a regional training center that is accredited by the World Meteorological Organization. And this training center is actually doing well. We even train not only people that are coming from Africa. We train people that are coming from other countries as well, up to also the Middle East. We also, in terms of we are also a regional specialized meteorological center, where in the region we provide assist the region in terms of looking at early warning of the weather. We've got programs that we are leading, working with the World Meteorological Organization and other institutions. And our focuses are working very closely with the focuses in the region. The other important area, members, is the long-range focusing, which is really a very important area, especially for agriculture, to have an understanding of what's going to happen in terms of seasonal focusing and building that scale. So South Africa, South African Weather Service, we are a global producing center. With the satellite as well, we also do some training at also at the Weather Service, and we have been identified as a center of excellence. Working there, we are also working very closely with the International Civil Aviation Organization. I also serve in the audit committee of the International Civil Aviation. And when it comes to Africa and aviation, South Africa and Senegal are the key organizations that are playing a very important role for the region.
Members, I'm not going to go into detail in terms of the organizational overview. However, looking at all these key areas, our focus is to look at customer requirements and at the end to make sure that what we do is what is actually needed. Hence, we have to review our vision as well. We cannot do this work without the people within the organization, for 102 people, and in terms of the equity distribution, it's distributed as indicated. Remember, I'm trying to move a little bit fast. And the bulk of the skills in the organization is our core skills. Out of that, 402, 314 is the core. Key people within the organization. And within that as well, how it is distributed, 54% of that is African and 10% colored and 2% Indian and 24% white. We're trying to meet the targets as and aligned to the demographics of the country. I must say, when other countries are looking at South Africa and the Weather Service and the government of South Africa, we just recently had a regional association meeting for Africa. And South Africa is one, I mean, in most of the areas with all the programs, is one of the countries that is able to have the necessary infrastructure that is required to ensure really a regeneration. So members, this is the infrastructure that we do have and we continue to upgrade it as part of our strategy. I'm not going to dwell a lot on the overview of successes. The organization over the period has managed to ensure that key governance structures are in place. Even with the National Auditor General, we've added that unclassified audits and all that, those things we adhere to that. But what is also important, members, on the next slide, please. What is also important, we have been paying attention in terms of developing the necessary competences. And in this year, it's one of the areas that we are still paying more focus on and making sure that as we develop that, we develop strategies that will address the needs, not only for the Weather Service, but for the country. We developed a national developmental plan where we looked at some of the key competences that are required, not only by the Weather Service, but by also, for example, the municipalities, the local government, and all that. And then what we've done is that we've taken it also to the Department of Education and the other role players and the universities as well to say how do we work together to build this capacity. And that was really well accepted by the members. So it's an area that's going to be paying more focus this coming year, members. In terms of retention of core skills members, we have managed over the period to keep it below 6% and making sure that we build the capacity that is necessary. The other area that we have been paying attention, which we will continue to pay attention, is the area of building capacity with provision of salaries for some of the key, especially from the previously disadvantaged communities. We also were very proud of the fact that these are the figures. May I move to the next slide? I'm worried about time. Moving to the next slide, one of the areas that members we are really so proud of, we was, according to the International Civil Aviation Organization requirements and the aviation industry, they want institutions that are ISO certified for aviation. But South Africa was the only country and the only country that had a total facility management for the whole organization. And we have just been recertified. So we've retained our certification. Members, I think there are some achievements, but I think I would like my minister to also be still here when I present what we're going to be doing this year. We've managed in terms of some of the things that are important for the country, building a body of knowledge. We are starting to write publish a number of books. For example, that book on rainbow in the mist it looks at indigenous knowledge, which we want as we move forward to have some work to continue with the work and look at science and linking it to the indigenous knowledge. With aviation as well, we have done a lot of work in that area. Forecasting as well. I think that is information. It's a sort of information that probably, to save time, I might consider to move to slide 28 for some of the issues I will be discussing in there. With the strategy that we are looking at, members, we are looking at these are the areas that are important for us. We looked at the Act, we looked at the priority, government priority areas, and also look at the National Developmental Plan and looking at the flagships and strategic infrastructure programs. One area is the critical skills that we've looked at. And at the departmental level, we looked at the National Climate Change Response Policy and then Global Framework for Climate Services to ensure that at the end of the day, we have a weather resignation. Next one. Over the last 15 years, members, since the establishment of the World Service, the first phase, the first 5 years, we've looked at establishing the organization, making sure it has sound systems in place, consolidation. But now, this level with our ATP and our 5-year strategy, we are looking at making sure that whatever that we have done over the period is sustainable. Like focus, that is the focus of the strategy. One of the key areas is resource mobilization, strategy partnerships, positioning of the organization, and also having relevant projects that are talking to the needs of the country. Coming to goal number one, the first goal is to ensure that we continue to be relevant in delivering the relevant products and services. One of the key areas that we are focusing on in this year and the next 5 years is in terms of the objective to come up with applications. But it's right indicated that it's not enough to have the data. But now people want to have more information on how to use that data in the manner that is easy for them and also to deal with issues of climate change, variability, adaptation and mitigation. So our focus now is to come up with applications. So which means also the training of the people will be looking at that and also development of products and services. As I've indicated, goal number two, we cannot do that without having collaboration with strategic partners. So stakeholder management and partners and key client relations is important for us to look at public good, looking at commercial, and also looking at research and development. Goal number three, we cannot do that without money. We're looking at growing aviation revenue, growing commercial revenue, and one of the key important things is maintain fiscal discipline. And I've indicated when I looked at the infrastructure that we have that it's very important to ensure that the infrastructure that we do have, the government, there is return on investment, we use it efficiently and effectively. So we continuously look at our observation networks, the processing, the dissemination platforms, new technologies that are coming as we move forward. And then they retain the certification of health quality management. And most importantly, we do not do that without the staff. The focus these 5 years, members, is to look at the 8-hour strategy, building the capacity, but also building the talent pool for the country in terms of atmospheric science, as indicated. We have 5 programs. One is on climate change and variability. The next one is commercialization and resource mobilization. The other one is infrastructure recapitalization and business optimization and realignment and the human capital. With the climate change and variability program, the focus is still on severe weather early warning systems to try and continue to improve on that area and provision of those services. And now what is important as well is that with the early warning system, we are training our scientists now that it's not enough to say it's going to be flooding. We need to give more information on the impact. It's not enough to say the rain will be above normal or below normal. What does that mean for a farmer? So there is a need for in that area for training of people as well and also improving the systems that we have and using the platforms that are also there. This is the this is just a pictogram of what we are doing, working with the different communities as well. One of the areas, if we come to South African Weather Service and looking at South African Weather Service web page, we have also developed a web page where we also use it for the certification when it comes to severe weather events, and the forecasters start talking to each other. And it has been helpful in making sure that we do minimize deaths and also in the region, some of the messages that are not strong enough, they do get the necessary information. In aligning our strategies with the priorities and also with the priorities of also the department, our research and development strategies align to that. And one of the areas that we felt that as an organization we need to grow is to build the capacity on hydrometeorology and agromet and coming up with a number of products. So these are the products that members that we will be coming up with in this coming year, development of 8 products and services aligned to the key sector needs. And the other areas that we're putting more focus as well is the air quality. And with the severe weather warning, I must say it's one of the areas that as South Africa, with the SADC region, we have been doing very well, and some of the other countries are learning from us in other regions. For example, with the Southern Africa flash flood guidance system, we started it here in South Africa, but now it's for the SADC region as a whole, the guidance system. And what it does for us, provides our researchers and scientists with an opportunity to also learn and teach others as well. With the research itself, we have also looked at how we can do modeling to look at the impact of the severe weather and provide that. The other area that we're paying more attention to as well is on climate change, to look at the impact of drought and flood hazards and assist in decision making with the work that we are doing. And as indicated that now that there is also a challenge with us to say, as much as we are providing this information, we also need to have a knowledge of how is the soil moisture linking it to the heat waves, and having to have a more holistic approach in our research. These are some of the research initiatives that we are doing with also other institutions. The other area is around the renewable energy. So we are starting also to really relook at establishing the monitoring station for solar monitoring stations, which will assist us as we do the providing the information for renewable energy. The other area that is important, we've got a lot of other service providers, institutions that are looking at climate, and the World Service is also playing a very important role in that area. And it's important for countries that we all work together in coming up with the services. So following the policy on climate change, we're also working together with the department to come up with a national framework where we work together and having this data and use it to make sure that it's quality data, it addresses needs. So that is one of the key projects that we're looking at, members. And the next one is air quality. That we have been looking at it very closely. On the project, climate change program, what we've done, members, I've also, in the next slide, slide 43, there is more detail in terms of the work that we are doing there on climate change and variability program. For example, with Hydro, the project that we're going to be coming up with, for example, for specific projects, for sector-specific projects, the solar energy farms, the wind energy farms, we are targeting that aviation application. So we've got a number of projects. When I indicated in our targets that we will be coming up with 8 products here, or services or applications, this is the detail in this slide of what we are planning to do, members. So all this work, there is a link between R&D department and also focusing department. This is on page 44 as well, members. There's more detail on what we will be doing, the activities around the National Climate Change Response Policy and coming up with the National Framework for Climate Services. This is another area that for us is very important, and making sure that as the provinces develop their climate change response strategies, the weather service comes in with the information to assist them in terms of the early warning system. In terms of the infrastructure, on slide 45, we have extensive observation network that we are striving to ensure that we keep them in condition that will provide us with quality information and improve the availability of the information and the quality of that information. And also the other area that we're busy with, we also identified other areas where we feel that the infrastructure we need to have to expand in those areas where we have challenges as well. So in this year and the next few years, we're going to be looking at expanding and upgrading our remote sensing network, like, for example, the lightning detection network. Looking at observation network, we are coming up with a number of other projects that are helpful in doing that. I've already indicated that with the optimizing the business, one of the key areas is business continuity. And when we have a session within the region, one of the things that became apparent with other net services that they do not really have a very robust business continuity plan. So with the weather service, it's one of the areas that we are also putting more emphasis. Coming to human capital, the program itself, attraction and retention, it's an area that we are putting more focus. Dual career pathing, we are implementing that. Where some of the managers, they do not want to be managers, but they want to progress. And with that, we are putting more emphasis in making sure that they are able to progress and stay within the organization. So there is a program that the board approved on dual career pathing. Critical skills transfer, we continue that program. One program for this year, members, that we are looking at is the leadership development program, because we also need to have leadership that will continue with the work for the up to 2020, that is able to understand the science but also lead the organization. And we're also working closely with academic institutions and also institutions that in the past we were not working very closely with. We have also, as indicated, members, that on page 48, the emphasis for this year in terms of building the skills is hydrometeorology and agrometeorology, looking at agriculture and looking at also water and the air quality. And starting to also move air quality to start to have a memorandum of understanding with some of the municipalities to build that capacity. Resources that we do require, we have highlighted them. I'm not going to go into detail about those, but these are some of the things that we think they are important for us to ensure that we with the strategy, we have a very successful strategy. With the projected income and expenses, I will give our CFO a few minutes to take us through that before I conclude.
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, the projected income and expenses for the forthcoming 5 years is presented on slide 50. What we've done here is to show the budget for the current year 14-15. I think that's sort of a purplish colour. And then in the aqua colour, we've got the medium-term expenditure framework of the 3 years. And then just to align with the strategy of 5 years, we include the projections of the two IT years. Those have not been actually formulated or finalized yet, but just to align the monetary terms with the term of the strategic plan, we included the last two IT years, which were merely 5% projections on the 17-18 year to get to the 18-19 and an additional 5% to get to the 19-20 year. If I focus on 15-16, as that is the year that we're talking around the annual performance plan, if I look at the government grant, operational grant, one can see the increase from 152.489 million to 164.23 million rand. That represents a 5.2% increase. But it's important to note that we're not receiving a capital grant in 15-16. Therefore, it actually drops with approximately 12% year on year. And in a budget of a Schedule 3 public entity, the income and the expenditure needs to be equal in terms of the PFMA. Therefore, the budget was aligned to actually bring expenditure in line with that of the expected revenue. One could see quite a significant growth in commercial income from 26 million to 36.981 million. That represents approximately a 42% increase. And the reason for that is that he needed to actually engage in additional commercial initiatives in order to only sustain our operational expenditure expected for the forthcoming year. Employee costs amount to 210 million rand, which represents about 69% of the expenditure. And members would be very well aware of that employee costs are formally sort of fixed costs, and they generally year-on-year go up with an expected 7% increase. Therefore, the year-on-year comparison right through to the end, up to 17-18, increase year-on-year with approximately 7%. The two after years, as I mentioned before, increase was about 5%. That left us with the administration and operating costs year-on-year comparison 14-15 to 15-16, only increasing with a mere 2.5% year-on-year. And this, the reason for this is, as reported previously to the committee, the reduction of, in our operational grant of 20 million for 15-16. As reported by DI, this decrease was reallocated to us in 16-17, and therefore members would see the increase from 160 million in 15-16 in operational grant to 209 million rand. And then they gave us an additional CADEX grant in 17-18 of 35 million rand. Therefore, if one translates the figures, the operational grant granted the 160 million for 15-16 only supports 76% of the total salary bill of the organization. It therefore implies that the balance of 24% of employee costs is funded by commercial and aviation income, and the balance, or the 100% of administration operational costs, is funded from commercial and aviation income. Chair, I think the forthcoming slides just reflect the historical actual trend with regards to total revenue. One could see that there's a seemingly substantial increase from 12-13 to 13-14. The only reason for that is because of the CAPEX grant of 20 million that we've received for the HPC, High Performance Computer, in 13-14. The next slide, aviation income. One could see the year-on-year actually fluctuating 9-10 to 10-11, representing a 44% increase. And this was mainly due to a correction on the baseline calculation of aviation revenue. Thereafter, it sort of fluctuates year on year because this is quite a difficult income to project, as it is actually quite volatile in terms of the volume and the number of flights, the weight per flight, and the distance traveled. The commercial revenue. One could see that it also fairly fluctuates, but in terms of what we project for this year, there's substantial increase projected in our commercial revenue. The total expenditure, the next slide in terms of the actual, this is fairly stable as we actually balance it out with the revenue year-on-year. Therefore, members would see that it actually year-on-year increased with approximately 10% year-on-year.
Thank you very much, I think for us to successfully implement the plan and also the strategy. We've identified the key areas that we need to pay more focus and manage those very closely. The funding and making sure that the infrastructure is managed and the life cycle is also looked at very closely. The other area is the master systems plan and also looking at ICT as the baseline. Human capital as well. And one of the areas that we really working very closely with the aviation industry, as the CFO indicated, that sometimes it's very difficult to do the budgeting and the projections because sometimes the industry is not doing as well as it should. So it's one of the areas that we're paying a lot of attention. And the other one is the program of commercialization and resource mobilization. The key consideration also for the future is that we need to be paying focus on the National Developmental Plan and also looking at how we can work very linked to the South African National Infrastructure Plan. And as we develop partnership, especially for the commercialization part of the business, I think to work with different companies that will also be using this information, but also being in a position to generate income where we work together, is to also relook at the financial model, because the partners that we are starting to have negotiations, they want to have different business models. So it's an area that you are looking at for the future. And collaboration is actually key. I would like to really thank the portfolio committee, to thank our minister and the department for really the support that they've given to the organization, and also to thank the staff of the water service. We will continue together with the board and management to be an organization that excels in performance. And also as we reach the level of maturity, we need to be focusing on making sure that it is a sustainable organization that will be there for the next 200 years. In 2020, the organization will be 20 years old as weather service, but it will be 160 years as the weather service for the country. But also we have a responsibility to continue to look at the challenges and identify critical access sectors and how to deal with them. I would like to thank the members.
Thank you, Doctor. Members, now is the time. You have 30 minutes to interact with our South African Weather Service on the presentation. Can you see? Okay. Bebana, who next? Okay, we'll start with Bebana. Member Bebana.
Thank you, Chair. I want to add my question to with retention strategies as well as critical skills. This is that you have mentioned on page 15. Can you collaborate on the percentage? Where was it from? Thank you.
Any other takers? But for now.
Just a small one. You know, I'm quite taken up with the report. I think it's quite a good doctor. This one of those questions, they say they achieve 72% rate of employee satisfaction. When are we going to get 90% or 100%?
Okay. And yes, that is Maguire.
Yes, thank you. Welcome the presentation. With the collaborations, you're saying now you're venturing into areas where it's not just providing raw data, but you have to as well look at what is the impact, what that has to do with various other partners and engaging. I take it it's a new area of engagement, so there's not much work that shall happen in that regard. But we may be willing with time to understand what else you do with those, or what is it that is coming out of these collaborations, whether they are meaningful and as much that we are able to do. The second is that you're talking capacity building within, but also I think that we do need the skills produced by the institutions of higher learning. And I'm just wondering how we're faring as a country in that regard for these kind of skills that are required by your sector. Thank you.
Can I get more clarity on the slide of the presentation, 17, slide 17? We should look at the number of bursaries awarded and also compare that to the number of students completing the studies. I would like to get clarity. It's really worrying that the number of bursaries are awarded, but if you look at the number of students completing the studies, it is lower. Can I get more clarity on that? Thank you, sir.
Yes, Malina.
No, thanks. I also welcome this very comprehensive report. I've just gone through your APP. One of the key problems that you are raising is inadequate funds from government. But I see that you are having a lot of other activities that you are embarking upon, including either renewable energy, air quality modeling, and also the quarter responsibility of the integrated marine strategies in terms of our cities. I just want to check what this kind of workload and responsibility are not punching above your weight. That's the first question. Secondly, can you expound or expatiate on this concept? It's the first concept that I get. In terms of your stakeholders, you are talking about stakeholder managing maturity. And what does this concept contain? I don't want to interpret it or misinterpret it. Explain it, Doctor, because this is your field. Those were my strategic questions. Thanks.
Doctor, I've gone through what you are reading, and I've also gone through your APPs and your strategic myself. I think that that's where the good work that you do for all of us as a country. Simple question. What you want to do in discuss with the department, to what extent you want to achieve what you want. Because we need to hold you to that extent, unfortunately. I'm not hearing that extent coming out clearly. Indeed, there might be wonderful dreams. But you see, when you come, for instance, in the first quarter, when you come to speak to us, we must be able to say, In your first program, these are things that you said you wanted to achieve. To what extent have you achieved them in the first quarter? In the second quarter? In the third quarter? Are we able to achieve the totality? I hope you get what I'm saying. Maybe it might be the industry you operate in. Maybe. As I try to look at the ATPs, and these are annual performance plans of the department, these are yours, including the methodology of putting the things together seems to be totally different. So that's why I'm then asking, is there a relationship between you and the department? That was the first question. The second question is, in this, what I'm asking right there, but I'm not seeing it because I'm a little bit too dumb maybe to understand it a second. Maybe. But I've looked, I don't get a sense that I'll be able to hold you on a quarter-to-quarter or on a year-to-year basis, except on broad parameters. Now, they have given us broad parameters. That might make it even a little bit difficult for us to hold you or for you to achieve them. Or to sit back and say, yes, we have achieved this to the extent that we said we're going to achieve it. That's what you want. It might be your broad view. It's my broad view as well.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Member. Starting with the first question on retention percentages, what is the base for the percentages that we have? When we looked at retention percentages, we actually look at the market that we are competing in, and also looking at the field in terms of the science, what is the retention rate there? And if you look at the retention rate, you find that it's around, it's just an over for around 10%. And we felt as an organization, we can work around 6%. And some years back, we had more than 10% people leaving the organization. So that is the basis for our retention rate. That we have looked at. We've looked at the market and we've looked over the period at the weather service, how we have been doing to retain people and our turnover for the critical and scarce fields. So that's the basis for our product one. The second question is around the climate survey. Why can't we move to 98%? One of the issues with trying to satisfy some your customers is that once you satisfy one need, a new need emerge, you will always have that in place. But we are striving at least to be more than 72% as we move forward. But it would be really a challenge to get to 98% because you cannot satisfy everybody. Sometimes with the resources that we have, you need to focus in one area. You find that with the climate survey, in some of the questions are looking at whether the infrastructure that is there is meeting the needs of the scientists. In some areas, it can't be 100%. So those are some of the things that we might not get to 98%. But what I can assure members is that with the climate survey, the areas where there are gaps, we identify them and say what is it that we need to do to meet those, to make sure that our internal customers are satisfied in that area. But when you go and do the survey again, it will be something new that we need to look at. In the area of collaboration, there is a lot of work that is happening in that area. For example, if you look at with our R&D strategy, with some of the initiatives, the projects that we are having, for example, one of the projects looking at solar energy, we do get the funding for that from the Department of Science and Technology. I talked about the solar energy, the solar monitoring station, the funding we are getting from the Department of Science and Technology. So that's the approach that we have been taking to ensure that with collaboration, we do it in that manner. For example, looking at some of the air quality activities, we start to work with the municipalities. And in some areas, the municipalities themselves, they start to look at the infrastructure that is needed. But what we get is the information that is required to do the work. So I think with that one, we are also working with the department very closely in that area. Also, the other question is around the capacity, looking at the capacity internally and also looking at the capacity externally. I think if I have not articulated it well, the national educational plan that we've come up with, what we did in the last 2 years was to consult with a local government, with the municipalities and some of the universities that we work with, to say, to look at which of the competences or that are required, like around air quality, like with the focuses, hydromet and agromet. And then collectively we came up with this document, which we also presented to the Department of Education. We had a workshop as a collective.
that needs a lot of money, and we'll try and see how we mobilize the funds to make sure that we give the capacity that is required for the country. So we do have some numbers based on the research that has been done to say this municipality needs so many scientists to assist them, this one needs so many, and disaster management needs so many. So we've got that document that we're working with the other departments and the Department of Education. On slide 17, I think that slide 10, I understand where the confusion also is coming from. From that slide, for example, if you look at making an example of saying 44 people are bursary holders, but those bursary holders, they say they are doing a degree. That degree takes 3 years. Some of the members are on third year, some are on second year, some are on third year. So on a year-to-year basis, you might find that it's only 50 that are on final year, which would take within the organization. So that's where the difference is. But I must say we have been working very closely with the University of Pretoria and also some of the universities like University of Cleveland. All of them have got MOUs with them where we give people bursaries. And the expectation is that the throughput, the pass rate, we need to have discussions around that. And the majority of the people have been passing, those that have got bursaries, because we discuss how are those students doing, what are the challenges that they have. So the majority of them, they've been passing. So that's the reason for that difference. My find out of that age, seven are still maybe doing second year, and they will be doing third year. With the APP and the challenge of funding, it's also true that we might in some areas not have the necessary funds to do the work that needed to be done. But it just becomes important for us to, for example, I'll give you an example of the integrated marine strategy. For us to, you first have to think, have the strategy in place, and there are a number of partners that you also play with. We felt that it's important that we have the strategy. We understand the amount of money that will be needed for the strategy, the document, the working document that we work on. Then from there, we have a document that can be taken continuously to National Treasury to say this needs to be funded. There are a few things within that integrated strategy when we sat down with the board to say these few things, basic things, they need to be done. But on a yearly basis, revisit the strategy, submit for the medium term, we submitted, there were no funds for that strategy. But at least we've got an approved document, because we need to integrate, to have interaction with different partners. So we have done that, working also with the department in developing that strategy. The concept of a stakeholder maturity is where you actually have your stakeholders, where you define, both parties define the benefits that we need to be getting into. Other than when we started with the issue of stakeholders, we're actually looking at whether they are satisfied with the service that we provide. But we're moving at a stage of saying, if we are looking at technologies, who are the key stakeholders that we need to work with? What kind of technologies that we are looking for from them? And then what kind of partnership? Maybe can be a commercial partnership. Maybe we'll be sharing on IT. So that's the move that we started to take within the organization, instead of just getting feedback whether they are satisfied. Because we also do not have all the necessary resources that are required, but it's also forcing us, because now with the needs that are coming, we need to integrate the information that comes from agriculture and water and all that. So we need to have a better relationship with the Department of Agriculture, better relationship with the farmers themselves to understand what it is that they are looking for. So for the commercial, we also have a stakeholder matrix with the plan of who we should be targeting, not targeting everybody, because we're not able to satisfy everybody, but we'll be able, if we focus on certain areas, maybe technology sharing, maybe sharing of the information, maybe commercialization.
Chairperson, the question around the working with the department. We do work with the department, and I think the primary the program that we are focusing on is program 4. Where we are sitting together in terms of the air quality, the targets that are set by the department is also the targets that we are having. But if I'm that this program for in some of the areas, our responsibility is to provide the baseline information that they need to make the final thing to look at the outcomes of those programs. For example, with the National Climate Change Response Policy, whether this is key in coming up with a framework for the country in response to that and getting that support from the department. So there is that relationship with the department. Chairperson. And I think with some of the other indicators that we put in, it's also the requirements, because there are stringent requirements in terms of the standards that are put by the GAMMO, World Meteorological Organization, and also the National Civil Aviation Organization, which we've put in. And in terms of the other factors, when it comes to some of the programs, for example, the department has got key sectors that we've identified to work with. And then we're saying the weather service, those key sectors, we are coming out with products and applications to assist the sectors to be in a position to deal with weather and climate issues.
Let me ask you, let's first start with climate change as a fair problem. Then let's look at what is the goal, the first goal under the climate change and effective management. First goal, at the certain point developed for 6 key sectors, our aid. Now, as we move, now I don't know what is lost in 2020. Because from where I'm seated, I would like to know for you to then do justice to this goal. What are then the targets that you have in the year under question? And perhaps in the MCF series, to get my point. Now indeed you might have that information elsewhere, outside of what you were speaking to. If you have that information elsewhere, outside of what you were speaking to, by all means. But from where I'm sitting now, so that I explain myself, from where I'm sitting, I'm lost.
I think we need to do the following, but indeed in the slides that you have, there isn't adequate information that's provided in the, as per the stress plan, the APP itself, on an annual basis on throughout the MGF as well. But even as we look at in the MGF, there's going to be a further need just to very quickly break those down into quarterly, is the question that you have asked. In the document, the APP, there is, I know there's, you don't have it in front of you now, because I don't think it's distributed the quarterly, the spread to the APP here, actually. It's a presentation, it is there. It may still not be the same. It doesn't look the same thickness. But if it is, I think it's okay. But even this, you need a quarterly breakdown. Maybe we need to do that urgently. It's really not fair. Because the other question you asked, you need monitoring on a quarterly basis. It does require to be there. Second thing I thought I should fill in is really the issue about the role of the department versus the source itself. As we are moving towards a further implementation and advanced implementation of our climate change response policy, as well as other programs like your air quality and so forth implementation, we do indeed require source and can be realized as part of our work, our institutions to help support these programs. And on an incremental basis, therefore, you note that there will be a requirement for them to get some actions and some additional work
because we are required, it's an obligation for us by law to implement these functions. Whether now there's money or not, that's a question that we need to continue to ask, and that's why I think this year is saying that on an ongoing basis we need to put these programs and continue to for funding for them, because they are an obligation. Linked to that is that there is always a what we call a shareholder compact with our institutions as well, through which we actually give them an oversight role. Not only through the shareholder compact, but we also do have a person who sits on the board, ex officio, both the CEO and an additional person who are actually on an ongoing basis interface, board meetings throughout, with source wherever they may have challenges. So that's the kind of relationship that we have from an oversight point of view, with also linked to that with the shareholder compact. But I do think that we need to come into that quarterly report and quarterly projections. Thanks.
Yes, Ms.
Dora. Chairperson, just to also confirm, with the ADP from page 45 to 62, the actual targets are there and for the quarterly, for each quarter as well. Yes.
No, it's fine. Let's live with that for now. You'll be coming back to us very soon. Let's not remind you. I've gone through some of the matters. The reason why I was asking, I understand that the responsibility the department has over yourselves, as the minister has pointed out. Among the responsibilities to ensure that whatever outputs you get are setting the product at the end of the day. Now we must be clear about those outputs, even from what you were saying, from the narrative that you were teaching us. But of course, we will now go to the ATP and look through them so that we then hold you to those. Members, any other matters you'd like to comment?
Yes. One small one. A person, I think you know, I want to compliment the doctor and the team for 7 years unqualified already for it. I think that's outstanding. Other things, I just want to understand the launch of a road hazard weather forecast for road users through insurance companies. Now, I can't understand why through insurance companies.
Thank you.
Before you continue, Doctor, can Bob go on so that we finish the question session and we have a
No, Chair, I don't want to ask any questions. Actually, supporting what you're saying, if the department is going to come and give us more clarity, because there are more issues that I'm picking up when you look at the ATP, but we go to the ATP. And if we are still going to have chance to engage the department, then I will support you on that. Because there are a number of things that I've just picked up now. I don't know whether you want to mention one of them or leave it and see next time when the department comes back.
No, it's okay. We have a broad view of what they are expected to do, and to a certain extent it is reflected in the ATPs that start from what was done in 2013, 14, 2014, 15, then 2015. But the point that I was making, have you broadly spoken in your presentation? I will not have taken you back to where we are now. Have you broadly reflected, this is what you want to, because the document that we have, unfortunately, again, the document you speak to is not assisting you and us. It talks about, again, it doesn't talk about targets. It doesn't. Because we are interested in what you're going to do this year, come the MTN event as well. This tries to answer that if these are my issues that the honourable member is raising now, because we could have zoomed into those issues. had you spoken to this document, or broadly, your slides spoke to this. Now, I don't know, well, I didn't need to find a relationship between the two anyway, at my own time. I'll find a relationship between what you presented to them and the AFCT. But you are right, Baba, don't worry, they are accountable to the department. So the department is still coming now, I don't know. So the department will still have to speak to us on, God, let's say, what is this presentation and what is the relationship between this presentation and the APTs? And I can assure you, from where I'm sitting, it has not confused me. Now I'm speaking as a chair. You can then wonder, what about these members who are seated? That's why I have a question. But we know that we have the capacity, you can do the work. I wonder the department, because they should have said to you, if your presentation, we're not very much sure whether it would speak to whatever you are expected to speak to. Amongst others, we agree on achievements and whatnot, so much loaded there. But now we want to know what are you going to do this year, in the next 5 years or so, up to 2020. And I don't think that in your presentation, I can assure you, daughter, that you really did justice to that. You did not. And I'm telling you as a friend, not as a person who has another motive. And the minister is here, and I think the minister understands what I'm saying. So maybe it might be necessary for you to just share notes with the department after this. Because then we don't want you to come back. You'll come back, they'll come back to us themselves in 3 months' time, 2 months' time, in a quarter. But we might start afresh. We might start afresh when you come back. Just indeed, it will also be good for you in sharing notes with the department, just to send us a presentation that speaks to your APT, that is. That's it. A presentation that speaks to your APT. And not many other things that indeed you might be doing, but they might fall outside of your APT. I'm sure she's very nice about it. For now, yeah, doctor.
I think you should I was looking at also the department, the key issues are in this document as well.
Yes. Okay. No, because you'll also remember that the last time we met, we were worried whether you'd be able to do your work in the first place. And you were quite clear what were the issues. You were very clear. We hope now you'll be able to do your work. We have not time on it, but we just hope you'll be able to do your work and there'll be no difficulties in you doing your work. With that note, but of course we understand the economic situation all of us are in. Within those constraints, we are hopeful that you'll be able to do your work, but we will also be engaging with you in the first quarter, when you come to report. And of course, as you come to report, the difference with you is that you might have to start us with what are you going to do this year? I'm sure so gets your mind. On behalf of the members, again, thank you very much for coming. We know that maybe some of you were supposed to, you were supposed to come today, were you? So there is no excuse of us bringing you before you were prepared to come. So you were supposed to come today, others are supposed to come on Friday. But let's welcome, we'll go through what you have, all the documents they've given to us, but if you said well just to send us a presentation that speaks to the APTs and MTES children. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. We appreciate the achievements. For now, leave them out. Let's just zoom into what do we want to do with the allocation given to us, so that we're able to link the money given to you as well with the work that you say you are going to do. Colleagues and friends, thank you very much. Sorry for us for being this a little bit terrible today, but you can now go home. See you when you come back. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.
But